Let's go ahead and turn in the scriptures then to Matthew. I'm sorry, Mark. Mark chapter 9. And where we left off last week was at verse 14. And what we saw last week was the actual triumphal, wonderful, beautiful transfiguration of Jesus into his glorified state. And remember, Elijah was with him and Moses. And Moses had been dead 1,200 years and Elijah 900 years. And is the air conditioning on? Oh, can we turn it on? Would you? Thank you. Can you do that, Charles? Thank you so much. Yes, I might die up here. I just, you know. Anyway, it's kind of warm in here. So, good. All righty. So, we're turning on the air conditioning. And what I was right in the middle of a sentence, I know. But we were talking about Moses and Elijah. So, Moses had been dead 1,200 years. And Elijah had been dead 900 years. But there they were with Jesus, the three of them. And this blew Peter totally away. And so Peter said, let's build three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Elijah and one for Moses, as he's speaking to the Lord. And then a cloud overshadowed them. And in the cloud was the voice of Almighty God. And he said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Referring to Jesus. That Elijah and Moses are good guys and all, but they're sinners just like you and me. And had to be saved, just like you and me. And so Jesus is there alone when they looked up. Because this is my beloved Son, said the Father from heaven. Hear ye him. And so that was established. Now, this was a tremendous experience for Peter and the guys, James and John. And they were just experiencing the fact that Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is glorified. And Jesus is coming again in his glorified state, and wow, what a blessing. And so then they come back down the hill, back down from the mountain. It's probably Mount Hermon. And so in verse 14 we read, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. So the scribes were the guys that knew the Bible like the back of their hands among the religious rulers of the day. And so they were questioning with the people. And Jesus went and there and saw this situation. And it says, and straightway in verse 15 of Mark 9, all the people, when they beheld him, that is Jesus, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. So they all came running up and said, hi, Jesus, where were you? We didn't know where you were, but now you're here, and we're so glad to see you again. And so they're saluting him. And he asked the scribes, what were you questioning them about? He's interested to see what they were talking about. No. And then one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son, which has a dumb spirit. Now this scripture actually tells us, and this is the only place in the Bible we're told this, is right here. This story is also recorded in Matthew, but Matthew doesn't have this. That this is actually a demon that could cause somebody not to be able to speak. Wow. So, you know, just kind of an interesting spiritual truth there in the Bible. I have brought unto you my son, which has a dumb spirit. Dumb means not able to speak. And then spirit is this evil spirit that's causing him not to be able to speak. And wheresoever he takes him, he tears him or dashes him. And so this demon possession situation, this demon would throw this boy to the ground, dash him against the stones on the ground. Probably had lots of bruises and injuries from that. And he foams, starts foaming at the mouth. And he dashes with his teeth, so the grinding of the teeth. And he pines away, or pining away is just fainting away, or he becomes like unconscious, very weak from the influence of this demon. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now, we don't know exactly what happened there. Remember, Jesus had given his disciples power over the demons, so they cast demons out. And he went out two by two and helping people with that. And they had much success. because they all came back rejoicing that actually the demons obeyed them and were cast out. And so Jesus said, don't rejoice in this, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. They're actually written in heaven. And so he is just giving them power to help people, but they shouldn't get wrapped up in that as far as an ego thing, but just rejoice that Jesus has saved them and accept that anointing. But this particular case, they couldn't help him. And you know, there's speculation about how they tried to handle it, maybe not had extra confidence because of their success with demons before this, so they didn't really call on the name of the Lord that much or whatever, but they couldn't cast him out. And so Jesus answered him, that is the man that brought his son to him, and this is what he said. This is a place where we actually see Jesus Christ frustrated with the people. He's frustrated with them. And, you know, I hope he doesn't get frustrated with me much. But I doubt that. I think that, you know, the things that we do sometimes are very frustrating to the Lord. But he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. The disciples just couldn't get that demon out of there. And he is really attributing that to lack of faith. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? So he's kind of frustrated. He's irritated. He's the word they used in the commentaries was exacerbated. Exasperated. He just was upset with these guys. Now, who's he talking to? Well, the man was the one who approached him. So he's talking to the man. He's talking to the man that he should have more faith and see his son healed. But he's also talking to his disciples because they were unable to cast the demon out. So he's frustrated with them that they didn't have enough faith. And then he's talking to the scribes. The scribes were probably blessed that the disciples couldn't cast the demon out because they didn't like the Lord and didn't like his disciples, and they're probably going, you guys aren't having any success here. And so Jesus is rebuking them too for their lack of faith. And may we say to all of Israel, anybody that was in shot of the ears, hearing this situation, is Jesus is rebuking and say, oh, faithless generation. He is just expressing this to the whole generation. And so what does this tell us? Well, it's telling us that these guys were lacking faith. Jesus is upset with that. And so he is really desirous that we as Christians have faith. In fact, there's a scripture in the book of Hebrews. I think those little girls are just too fast for Melissa. Melissa went out that door and they're already over here. But anyway, so where was I? Jesus, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us this. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We just cannot please the Lord without faith. So these people here are experiencing lack of faith. And so Jesus is now saying, bring the man to me, the boy to me. And they brought him to him, and when he saw him, straightway the Spirit tore him, or just beat on him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. This must have been a terrible, scary experience. This reminds me of my brother Owen, who's a paramedic in Redondo Beach, when he ran into somebody that was really, really high on the bad drug. What is that? Meth? That makes the people real strong and weird. And my poor brother, he was running around his truck the opposite way this guy was chasing him, because he was just powerful with these, and he's waiting for the police to get there, you know. And sometimes I think there's some demon activity going on in some of these people, you know, with their drugs. It does call drugs in the Bible sorcery, which is like witchcraft, you know. It's that's the word pharmakia, from which we get our word pharmacy, which would apply to drugs. And so drugs can be dangerous. But anyway, and demon-possessed. So he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? How long has he had this thing that's going on with him here? And the father said, since he was a child, just a little tiny boy. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire. Now, in those days, they had many open fires. That's what they would cook over, and they would cook outdoors a lot, kind of like barbecues without coverings. And this demon would throw this little boy into fire, since he was of what this demon wanted to do is actually destroy that boy. And of course, we know in the scriptures when we're told about Satan, it says Satan goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might destroy. The devil plays no fair. He will kick you when you are down. Our only hope is Jesus. And as we call upon the name of Jesus, Jesus can overpower the devil in an instant and rebuke him away. And so oftentimes it casts him into the fire and the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, so this man looks with desperation to Jesus Christ and he says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And what does Jesus do? He brings it right back to faith. This thing called faith is so important. This thing called faith is so important. Faith in the Lord to fight our battles. Faith in the Lord to protect us from weird stuff that happens out there every day. And so here we see it. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Wow, what a statement. All things are possible to him who believes. And straightway, the father of the child cried out, and this is beautiful. I love this right now, what he's going to say. The father of the child cried out, verse 24, and said with tears, he's crying now with emotion and just, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. What a beautiful prayer. And, you know, that's honesty. This man was being honest. You know what? I'm saying with my mouth, I believe. But, oh, Lord, help my unbelief. Any unbelief in others keeping me back. Oh, God, help me with it. I'd love to pray this prayer to the Lord. I'd love to pray this prayer to the Lord. Because none of us are perfect. None of us are absolutely pure. None of us can do this on our own. We need the Lord so bad. But we come to understand that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, we can't do anything. Faith in Christ and his power. So we need help with that. And God helps us. Oh, yes, he does. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Now, if you pray this prayer, you will receive the faith you need. Because there's a promise in the Bible, without a shadow of a doubt, that promises this. And I want to show you that promise. Let's go to 1 John 5:14. Now, 1 John is not the Gospel of John. It's written by the same John, but it's way in the back of the Bible. So you go towards Revelation, the last book in the Bible, and you come to 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, which are right before the little tiny book of Jude, which is right before Revelation. So you come to 1st John chapter 5 and verse 14. And so in 1st John chapter 5 verse 14, it says this. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So very simply, let me ask the question, is it the will of God that you have faith? Yes, absolutely. We've just seen these rebukes of Jesus. Oh, faithless generation. You know, you really need to believe more. And then he asked the man, do you believe? If you will believe, anything is possible. So is it the will of God that we believe? Yes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we know without one shadow of a doubt, it is the will of God that I believe and you believe. And so we read that we have a confidence, this absolute confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, and having faith is according to his will, we've established that. He hears us. Oh, yes. And he heard this man. And he hears us when we pray and ask for faith. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So you're going to get it. You ask for it, you got it, Toyota. It's as simple as that. You just go to the Lord. Say, Lord, I just need some more faith. Can you give me a boost shot of faith? A zapparoonie of faith. And the Lord will do it. Yes, he will. And then he will instruct you how your faith grows. It says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So even tonight, as you and I are all sitting together and looking at the word of God, we're growing in faith. Because faith comes from hearing, and you are definitely hearing right now because I'm speaking and I'm reading the Bible to you. And so you are growing in faith, and that's marvelous. So this is really a win-win situation. Reminds me of the verse that all the promises in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. Simple as that. All the promises in Jesus Christ are yes and amen. And so there you go. So this man's doing that. He's saying, Lord, I believe. Let's go back to Mark chapter 9, verse 24 at the end. Lord, I believe. Prayer. And then he prays. Help thou my unbelief. And God rushes in and he helps this man. And it's beautiful. Now, when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. Just rebuked him, saying unto him, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore. In other words, beat on him a little bit as he was leaving, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. The little boy just died. When the spirit came out of him, but he's just laying there unconscious. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, the disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast him out? What's the skinny on that? You gave us the power to do that, and we did it to so many others, but what happened? And of course, we've seen the exhortations about faith all along in the story so far. But Jesus responds in a different way than the faith way. And this is really something of a light bulb that went on for the first time in my mind in reading this story. For Jesus then said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, fasting is something that accompanies prayer, as folks are led to do this, is that you, as you fast, you deny your flesh. If you're used to eating 3 Big Macs for lunch, which is a devastating thing to think about, but if you're used to that, and you give up those Big Macs for lunch, your flesh is going to cry out for that. I want my Big Macs, you know, or whatever you do for lunch. And when you do that, that reminds you to pray if you're fasting. You've decided to really pray hard about something as constant as you can. So when you fast, you deny yourself food. Then when you feel the hunger pains from denying yourself that food, it reminds you to pray. The important part is the prayer. It's the prayer. And so this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So what struck me like a lightning bolt when I read verse 29 is prayer equals faith. You know what? The more faith you have in Jesus Christ and his ability, the more you're going to pray. Because when you're in trouble, and when you're facing this or that or the other thing, and you really believe that Jesus can help you, what are you going to do? You're going to ask him. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And so prayer just goes together with the faith, like love and marriage and horse and carriage, faith and prayer. And so Jesus is really giving us an equality between prayer and faith. Now, I want to show this to you in a very solid way in another experience that Jesus shares earlier in the Bible. So I want to turn with you to Luke chapter 18. I should say later in the Bible. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. And verses 1 through 8. Now Jesus spoke a parable. Now a parable is just a little story to just make a spiritual point. He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men should always pray and not faint. So the opposite of fainting is really having faith. But we are tempted to faint, to lose heart. To lose heart. That's what the other translation says about this, to faint. But we should always pray instead. There's many times that we feel like fainting. We feel like losing heart. There's no hope here. This is a depressing situation, and it's so bad, I don't see any way out. And so now I'm going to engage on losing heart. And it leads some folks, God forbid, to suicide. And all kinds of giving up, throwing in the towel, however you want to put it. But Jesus says, you know what? You should always pray instead of losing heart. Now, there might be situations here tonight in your life. I have no idea. But you do. Over something you're losing heart over. Some of you might be experiencing that even now. And of course, all of us understand it because we've experienced these things in the past and probably will in the future. Well, there'll be something that you just want to lose heart over. And so you get discouraged and you forget to pray. You're just bummed. But Jesus says, you know what? We should always pray. That's what we do. We always pray and not lose heart. Not lose heart, but pray. And so he tells a story about that that's really good. And it makes total sense. Of course, everything that Jesus said makes sense. And so let's read verse 2 of chapter 18 of Luke. Saying, there was a city, in a city, a judge, who feared not God, neither regarded man. This is a wicked judge. So you picture the judge sitting up on his table with his hammer, his gavel, order in the court. But he's a wicked man. He doesn't care a bit about anybody else. He just likes his paycheck. He's really blessed that he was appointed to be the judge. Here comes the judge. And he's beating his hammer. And so this guy did not fear God and neither regarded man at all. Didn't even think about man's needs. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. Somebody was taking advantage of a poor widow, a widow that lost her husband. She had no male protection in her life. And she's coming to this judge for help from this adversary, whoever he was. And he would not for a while. He said, I don't care about this woman. I'm not going to help her. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she weary me. It's going to get real old if this woman keeps coming back for help. Help me, help me, help me. Next day, help me, help me. And he just wants to get rid of her. Even though he's an evil guy, he takes care of the situation because she's going to weary him. And actually, in the original language, the Greek that this was written in, hit under the eye is what that means, weary me. It's like she's hitting me under the eye. She comes in every day and goes, whap. You know, why don't you take care of this? Whap. Hit under the eye. Now, the Lord says this about that. This is the wisdom of the Lord. Hear what the unjust judge says. He's going to be affected to help her, even though he doesn't care about her or anybody or God or anybody, because of her continual coming that wearies him. And shall not God, the good, perfect, wonderful God that loves you and I so much that he gave up his life for us, he displayed his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us on that cross. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And a better translation of that is, will he keep putting them off? If they keep coming to him for help, is he going to continue to put them off? I tell you that he will avenge them quickly, speedily. Nevertheless, and here's the punchline, you guys, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he find people praying always on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? And here we see in this little story that Jesus told exactly what we were seeing in the story of the young boy that had the demon cast out of him. Faith equals prayer. Yes, indeed. 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 When the Lord Jesus comes back, he wants to find a praying man and a praying woman. He wants to find prayer groups in churches. He wants to find praying churches that believe in prayer, coming to him for help. Always praying, and not losing heart. And when he comes then, he will find faith on the earth. And so he's asking the question, will he find faith on the earth? And you know, I want him to be able to say yes about Calvary Chapel Anaheim, our church. We left lots of room between the pews so people would have places to stand together and hold hands and pray. We have a prayer room where you can go after service and get a free Bible if you need, but most of all and most important is to get prayed for. You should always pray and not faint. And so, you know, I want to encourage you tonight, and we're going to, you know, do this in a second here in a minute, not a second, but a minute, maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes, 5 minutes more. Anyway, the idea is this. God wants to teach you how to pray. And the best way for him to do that is for you to do that. And so the Lord wants to just touch your heart tonight. And he wants you to bring those things that you absolutely lose heart over, or are tempted to lose heart over, to him and see what God will do. There's nothing too hard for him. That's an Old Testament scripture. And the New Testament scriptures, there's nothing impossible for him, even though you think it is. Even though you think it is. You just keep coming to him in prayer about it. And as I shared a little earlier, you can do this silently between you and him, because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He will see your heart. As you simply, as we do three praise songs in the next half hour, you have time to praise, but you might be talking to God about some serious, deep, hard matters in between. It's always good to stop and praise again. That's part of prayer. Pray with thanksgiving and just bring these things before the Lord and cry out to him day and night, it says. And he will not put you off. He will not put you off. He will hear your prayer. And he will bring about the most spectacular answers to your prayer in his time. In his time. I remember my son Jeremiah took him to kindergarten, and he didn't want to go to kindergarten. He said, "Dad, I do not want to go to school. I thought about it. I'm not going to do school." And I said, "Jeremiah, I'm going to take you to kindergarten this morning. At the end of kindergarten, if you don't like it, you don't have to go back." Wrong thing to say. But I told him that because I was sure he's going to like it. You know, I was positive in my mind because I remember how much I liked school when I finally got there and made friends and all that stuff and so forth. Well, I was late coming to get him. He was the last little boy left. Everybody else had gone home. I was 15 minutes late. And he said, "Dad, you are late. You are way late." And I said, "Jeremiah, I'm only 15 minutes late." And he says, "Well, it's fast when you're coming, but it's long when you're waiting." This kid has got wisdom. I'm telling you, it's long when you're waiting. And so when we got home, he told me, he said, "You know what, Dad? I went to school today and I tried it and I don't like it and I'm not going back." I won't tell you the rest of the story. No. It took a long time to talk him into it, but he did make it through, just barely. there you are with a story about Jeremiah. So what else were we talking about here? Well, the Lord works out things, and sometimes it feels long because you're waiting, but it's short because he's coming. And you know, even if our lives are just terrible, which isn't the truth, for our whole lives, that's a very short time. It's like a breath. It's like a vapor. It says in the book of James, our life is like a vapor. You know, we're on a cold day when you, it just goes and it's gone. That's what our lives are like in the length compared to eternity. And God is getting us ready for a glorious future with him in the heavenlies. Until then, we're in a fight. And it really is the good fight of faith. It's the fight of faith. Believing. Again, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So he's asking for us to always pray and not faint. And when he comes, he wants to find faith in you. He wants you to be always praying and seeing God's deliverances. And you know, sometimes I think we forget how many deliverances we see as we prayed through the years. Jesus, help me now. Jesus, take the wheel, like that song, Carrie Underwood. Jesus, take the wheel. I love that. And the Lord does take the wheel. And we get out of that hairy situation. And we've said to him, "If you get me out of this, I'll never doubt you again." Ha, 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 ha on that one. Because right away we get into some other situation and we forget what we said. And we want to lose heart. But God wants us to remember what God did. He opened the Red Sea for the children of Israel. Yes, he did. He did many mighty works, and he's done many mighty works in our lives and answered so many prayers. And yet we want to lose heart. But men should always pray and not faint. But will he find faith on the earth when he comes? Oh, with everything that's in me, and I know you're probably thinking the same thing, everything that's in you. You want him to find faith in you when he shows up. Wouldn't that be great? Just to have faith found in you when Jesus rolls back of the sky, or it's time to take that last breath, and you know that you believe the Lord, and you've been in constant prayer toward him, and you have been always praying and not fainting. Glory to God. Great place to be. That's where he wants us.